On this episode of Digital Signage Digest, we are taking a look at the role projection mapping plays in the digital signage space and how it can evolve to become a bigger part of the signage experience.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is Digital Signage Digest, episode number 10, Put Down the Phone.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Chief, the global leader in commercial AV mounting solutions.
I'm Lenore Eileen, and this is Digital Signage Digest, the AV Nation TV show that looks at the news and issues of the digital signage market. With me today are Remy Del Mar, Product Manager of Visual Experiences at Epson, Mike Dorito, Senior Product Manager at Christie, and Cameron Ulick, Owner and Technology Artist at Comagine Design. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. I really wanted to have you guys on the show because projection mapping has cropped up a lot in the last few years. And although I've written about it in the sense of case studies and so on, I've always been curious as to what the nature of the relationship is with digital signage, what projection mapping, how do these two meet and how can they work together? So I know that projection mapping is usually used in sort of a large-scale outdoor events type situation, and it's usually a play of light and images. What current role does projection mapping play in digital signage integration? And is it a growth area or a specialist area for this market?
The way Epson looks at, you know, sort of in terms of where we're seeing adjacent application for digital signage and also traditional projector usage model. If you think of digital signage as a means to replace static signage, so we talk about digital experiences because digital signage is a subset of digital experiences. Other things that you can sort of roll up to digital experiences can consist of projection mapping, augmented reality, mixed reality, and actually, projection mapping, it used to be called spatial augmented reality. Spatial as a means to, you know, painting a space basically with light. The digital signage industry today has been driven by two factors, really, centralization and relevance. So it's no longer just replacing static signage, but also it's used to push real-time data updates, customer analytics and whatnot. So for us at Epson, at least projection mapping, while still today it could be a specialty approach, it's sort of that next phase digital signage 2.0 where it can be used to create more relevancy in an environment where sort of experiences are driving customer needs and wants.
Mike, what do you think? What role do you see it playing right now in digital signage?
I sort of agree with Rennie there. It's going from a specialist sort of to relevances and experiences. When you look at projection mapping and how it's being used today, like it's usually the large scale projection mapping that attracts crowds and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think what it has to do to become even more relevant in digital signage, which really turns it into more of a marketing tool than a presentational tool. There has to be more interaction with the audience, and I think that's sort of where it's going to go. Interaction, you know, using portable devices or whatever people have in the audience to affect the projection mapping and allow creative part of the experience to sort of stand out and at the same time be able to be used for the digital signage, which is something that's a little bit more, so digital signage is about making. You're moving from something that's creative towards something that's corporate or mm-hmm. that. So intertwining the two is going to be quite a feat for the people at Cameron, and I'm sort of looking forward to see how that's going to become integrated, especially for the large venue events.
Cameron, as a technology artist, what do you think? Is the technology there to have these two? You know, there's a lot of chat of the two meaning, digital signage and projection mapping, but is it truly something? Are these two things that can meet each other and play together in an effective way?
Yeah, absolutely. We see opportunities all over the place right now, because with projection and projection mapping, you know, the aim for a lot of our clients that are looking for unique experiences are, how can we turn our unique surfaces into a way to display content or information? And so that doesn't necessarily mean that you need a flat wall. We can use existing structures. But we also are seeing a lot of clients who are asking, not necessarily for large, grand environments, but using projection mapping on small point of purchase displays and places where you wouldn't expect them. So turning their devices or their new product launches into unique experiences that might play out across the tabletop. Like I said, there's a lot of different directions where, you know, these opportunities are going to take us. And, you know, as the projectors get smaller and brighter, it's only going to increase those opportunities, because it plays to an audience, or actually the client's needs, where if we want to turn it off, it just goes away. Whereas if we have a large LED wall or a lot of monitors on a wall and we turn those off, we're left with a large black display. And so it is unique in how we use projection mapping with sort of maybe onto paintings or drawings or things like that that might be in a storefront. And we projection map those drawings. It gives us a lot of freedom to play with maybe different times when these displays turn on and off, and how the clients really want to utilize them.
I wanted to expand on what Cameron said, because what we are also seeing is very similar. A few years ago when I first joined Epson, maybe there were a lot of requests for these large projection mapping applications on buildings and whatnot. But we're seeing a lot of retailers and corporate customers coming to us with sort of this idea of, I need to increase engagement with my products, with my brand. And if you think of projection mapping, not in terms of those large scale, but smaller scale, the fact that you can display content on nearly any not flat surface. So now all of a sudden, what we tried to display at DSE last year was like, your shelf talkers don't have to be static. They can demonstrate dynamic content. They can provide a little bit of context behind the product. So now customers can bridge the gap between what they see on the shelf to their online shopping experience, which is sort of something that's been missing for them. And that is why retail sort of are primary sort of people that are coming after these new experiences. In terms of technology being there or not, you know, economy is changing from the service economy to experiential economy, where I was sharing some data point last week at a meeting where 33% of millennials are saying they prefer to travel to places that are Instagrammable. So like, that's how they make travel choices. Now with Gen Z entering the workforce and being the first fully digital generation, it just makes sense to sort of think, how do we take something and basically kick it up a notch? And I think projection mapping creates those sort of small or large experiences that are memorable.
So you would say that's a benefit of it being used in the digital signage space, but what are some of the drawbacks? Is it, you know, is a setup something that integrators can get comfortable with quickly? Is it a thing of integrators unleashing their creativity in ways of setting up the projectors? What do you guys think?
It's a good question. It has a very different workflow than you would use in a standard digital signage. You have to think application first, technology second. It's more consultative. It's an art, really. Like, you have to be a part of that creative brainstorming with the customer. Today, the tools aren't quite as mature as some of digital signage tools, but I want to say that I feel comfortable stating that between the software community and the content community, there is a certain amount of excitement and buzz that's being created that's pushing everything towards some other solutions that we are seeing. Like, I'm seeing a lot of traction in this space. But the approach is different in terms of these traditional integrators to think about application and not just hardware.
It's interesting that that Remy brought up the you know, where digital native is today with their expectation of what the environment is, and you're correct, there it is different. It's a different way of treating things. It's not just the technology anymore. It's about the experience and be constant for the, or the people that are utilizing digital signage to constantly think about the experience of the audience is it's critical. And it's not just a, you know, point and shoot kind of thing like it used to be in the past with screen, just putting a big screen up in a retail space. It's you know, wrap around the columns, shoot on the ceiling and the floors and everything all at once and have things interact and be meaningful and flow. Is an important aspect of digital signage and production.
Cameron, as an integrator, what are some of the innovative ways that you yourself have you know, used projection mapping in your projects that are digital signage adjacent?
Unique ways, I would say, creating experiences, like Renee was just saying, is you know, something that's Instagrammable. And, I'm seeing a lot of large brands try to create these unique environments that, like you were saying, that they want to travel to and experience. So, you know, take your larger brands, maybe somebody like Harley Davidson or something like that, you know, to create a room that would be used projection mapping to create sort of a 10-minute theater experience. That would show the history of Harley-Davidson and use their products in that room and projection map those products to create a unique experience that you can't experience that anywhere else other than being in that store or in that place. You can't appreciate it online. It's a theater experience that is created uniquely for the people who have gotten to that place. And so some of the theater experiences that we've installed using projection mapping have delivered that for our clients. And so they get to see an actual physical footprint, with their audiences. And so the interaction there and the feedback is instantaneous.
So are you telling me then that in a way projection mapping becomes its own advertising tool if you have, so, you know, we it's the age of the influencer?
I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, we're going to use projection mapping as a label. But usually utilizing it as a tool to create unique experiences, because we know, you know, what we can accomplish with it, you know, creating these moments where we're able to project on sort of non-traditional surfaces and make something unique happen to surprise and engage people.
Right, but the experience moves beyond that, doesn't it? If you're creating an experience with projection mapping where it is a very unique experience, one that will probably not be repeated, and you have people with their iPhones and their, you know, Androids with raised up to catch that experience, wouldn't you say that's an extension in a way too of that advertising channel to get the word out about this particular thing, in this case Harley Davidson bike motorcycles?
Right, I do agree with that, and I think Remy might be able to speak to that a bit more, though. I don't want to put her on the spot or anything, but.
Yeah, I love the Harley example. I think, again, like there are certain terms that we've coined because of history. Advertising. That was a way, of course, I'm putting the sort of the revenue generating machine aside, but it was a way, I remember back in the days, my grandmother used to call every tissue paper Kleenex, whereas Kleenex is just one brand of tissue paper. That's the power of advertising, where, you know, you coin a phrase and people remember it and they continue repeating it. So when Cameron was talking about this Harley experience, that's a brand experience. That's taking advertising one level up and making you a fan, because now you will remember that brand by the experience you had in that room or in that instance. Now, some of these brand experiences are permanent, They're not necessarily temporary. There are permanent places that are being built. Yeah, you may have heard of like Meow Wolf or Electric Playhouse, where they're creating this experiential spaces where you actually may be very inclined to put away your phone and just experience this space with people that you are with. There are reports out there about how like the casino industry is declining because millennials don't gamble. However, they are willing to pay dollars for a dining experience that's unique. So creating an experiential dining experience, it is unique in a sense that it's not going to be scalable for every fast food restaurant, but it is one of those one in a million experiences that you will go and pay a premium for a food that's perhaps $40, $400 just to experience it. And I think that's where the brands are, that are coming to us are sort of thinking about their verticals and on how they can use projection as a medium to achieve those results.
So let's just step back for a moment. We got to the fun part almost rather quickly because I'm an artist and I'm always interested in how things are used creatively, even outside of their stated purpose. But what are the system requirements and the learning curve for creating a projection mapping project? I know that we talked a little bit earlier about there's a different approach to integration. You have to do a lot more brainstorming. It's a little bit more planning. But how do we go about, because I have Epson and Christy here, what goes into to choosing the right projectors for such a project? And what other workflow do we need to think about if you're an integrator looking to get into that? And Cameron, I'll save you for last. So Mike, if you want to go first, I'm really curious as to what you see as the workflow for something like this, big or small.
For us, it's big or small. The first thing you have to look at is the environment. There's all the physical aspects of, you know, the size of the canvas, the shape of the canvas, the possible angles for projectors and all those things have to be taken into account. Because it all impacts the final experience. Choosing the right product for the installation is it's honestly, if you do it really well, it's going to be a mix of products. There's going to be different angles, if there's a column in the way that you don't want shadows, you know, there's multiple angles for projection to eliminate the shadows. But all the projectors don't have to be the same brightness, and the resolution, you know, it can be a result of the content that's created, but really comes down to, again, the experience that you want to pass on to the viewers. You know, if it's going to be something close up, you want high resolution because it's really good. But if you're projecting onto a building, most people will not be able to tell the difference between a 4K and a 1920x1080 blended image. and multiple little things. So there's a lot of things that need to be taken into account. And I just touched on a few because never mind the distribution and storage and all that kind of stuff that needs to happen. But when it comes to projection, the first thing you think about, even before you think product, is what is the environment going to be? Everything from the amount of light on the canvas to the size and the texture on the canvas.
Remy?
For projectors, you do need to consider throw brightness resolution, but that all depends on the site of or the coverage area that you need to map onto. So if it's a large area, like let's say if it's a whole room or external wall of a building, only site inspection can really enable someone to sort of decide on what kind of projector I should be using, where would it be installed, how far out, how bright is it. So there's a lot of consideration in doing site inspection. If it's an object, like at retail, we were talking about this micro mapping project, it's slightly easier. And then beyond the projector, and I think Cameron mentioned the projectors are becoming smaller, brighter, the cost of entry on the projector side is becoming easier. Then you need some sort of PC that has the right graphic cards and horsepower to drive the software. And also there are a lot of different software applications out there from MadMapper to Green Hip Pool to more expensive ones like Resolum and whatnot. And, you know, and I think the last piece is like scanning, what doesn't exist today in projection mapping, like easily, it's not accessible for everyone, is the tracked motion solution. So if the object moves, you have to redo the mapping. So that's where it becomes more of an art and an intricate application as opposed to easy to do. And I think that's the question you asked, but sorry, I got kind of distracted. I don't know if I answered the question.
You answered that. You absolutely did. Perfectly.
Yeah, I can pick it up.
Yeah, Cameron, as someone who does this, who's done this, what did you find the learning curve to be, and what's your approach to creating projects for this space?
You know, a lot of times we don't, you know, with clients, we don't really get into too deeply into sort of what our media playback resources need to be. They don't need to worry about if we're using fiber or whatever. You know, the important things that I need to communicate with the client is brightness. Brightness is almost more important to me than resolution. In the larger scale installations where we don't have a lot of control over ambient lighting and things like that. The learning curve really is trying to help, you know, a client who hasn't done this sort of thing before to visualize what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, the pre-visualization of projection mapping is always a challenge. You know, if we do a 3D scan of a hallway or a building, you know, trying to show everybody what it's actually going to look like is always the biggest challenge in trying to sell, you know, the project to someone. And so that is usually the steepest learning curve. It's not necessarily the limitations that we come across, as we, you know, every project has its own limitations on what these guys are talking about with projector position and brightness and, you know, media playback and sort of how do we scale those things up and down to make them cost efficient. It's more for me about, you know, trying to show the client what the end product is going to look like on the day.
How do you present them with drawings
The techniques that I typically use is we'll build a 3D model of the structure we're going to project onto, and give them some renders of something that looks close to a realistic look and feel, the brightness and the texture, things like that. If we have to, we'll actually go out on site. And if the structure exists, we'll project onto it to give them an idea of what we're, you know, some of the things that we'll be challenged with to be able to make a good presentation of, you know, what they're asking for. It's really the learning curve is usually on the other end. But that's expected, you know, because we are really bringing in sort of techniques, artistic techniques that are very new. To artists, there's a lot of people jumping on boarding and wanting to utilize this tool to, you know, do amazing things. Mm-hmm. And so it's always interesting to collaborate with new artists who haven't actually used projection mapping to express themselves and kind of see where that goes. You know, whether or not they're using digital tools to create content or they're actually sculpting things and painting things for real, and then we film those things. You know, it's always an interesting play. But like I said, the technology is only going to grow, because it is really a very flexible way of, creating art.
Well, let's talk about that. All three of you, what tech advances do you anticipate will kind of drive this further and take it to new heights, including in partnership with digital signage?
I see two different routes or paths, if you will, for where partnerships and collaboration has to work. And one is the technical side, the other side is the creative side. And I'm sure other manufacturers have the same discussions in their groups with what comes first, the tech or the art or the content or the technology, and is the content driving the technology? Is the technology driving the content? What is it? And what it comes down to is it's a dance. So it goes back and forth, and on the tech side, you know, there's everything that you know, manufacturers of, you know, Christie makes projectors. We make other things too, but primarily it's projectors. But our projectors do much without content, and the content has to be stored and distributed properly, especially for, you know, large or small shows, doesn't matter, but the large ones are more complex. So I haven't had a seat to talk about those. So you know, making sure that everybody's following, you know, there's things, you know, things about the standards and stuff like that, but more importantly, it's making sure that the way this content's stored, distributed, and shown is all working well together. And so there's going to be at least understandings between technical manufacturers as to what is needed, but also on the content side, you know, we're constantly seeing things like color, you know, Rec 2020, what Rec, you know, 709, you know, P3, what color is possible with the projectors, and that's something that needs to be discussed with in collaboration with the content creators. Things like refresh rates, you know, like 60 hertz, 120 hertz, 240 hertz, you know, so these things are come into play with things like latency and detail. So there's constant communication, interaction, if you will, with on both sides of the tech and the creative. And I think as good manufacturers, it's a good space for us to be able to talk to both sides, you know, to make sure that we're making the best thing possible for everybody.
Remy, what are some of the tech advances that you anticipate will kind of change the space and evolve the space?
It's a good question. I think we're already seeing some people writing their own code, for example, to synchronize 30 projectors like in a peer-to-peer method so they don't have to purchase a server. So I think with the just outside of our space, in AV space or digital signage space, because of the advancements in software development, and then combining that and adding to also what Mike was saying, access to content, or, you know, there is the entry, sort of the burden of entry to this space is becoming a little bit less difficult. But my anticipation is like some of the issues we run into in real implementation, and Cameron mentioned one about site inspection and visualization. I think that is sort of, if you think of how do you combine like maybe perhaps a Google 3D data when they scan buildings, can that someday live in a server where it's accessible to people so they can pre-visualize what that building is going to look like if they were project mapped onto it? I don't know, or if they use an augmented reality tool or a mixed reality tool to do something. So I think, how do you sort of tap into existing 3D data points that's out there and bring it into a projection mapping solution so that pre-visualization can be done in an easier way? I think that is an issue for a lot of end users, not being able to imagine what that experience looks like. I think the second thing I talked about was motion tracking on objects, like, because you have to scan a 3D object. So let's say if you wanted to map onto a pair of shoes, every time that pair of shoes moves, there needs to be a tool that can rescan the new location and map the content right onto it, so calibrate properly. And I think that's a tool that I've seen different variations of it, and Cameron may know more, or Mike, but I think it's a tool that can definitely use some refinement. And then short term, I guess it's just today that community of artists, hardware experts, and software experts, it's a little bit fragmented. So, I mean, our hope and our goal is to create a smaller or a tighter community of experts so that we can bridge the gap while these technologies are being improved.
I would definitely agree with the fragmented community. it is hard to find people who have actual physical experience of creating projection mapping content and implementing it. to find those people to be able to help you on a project so that you don't have to train somebody on all the experiences that you've gone through and the places where you failed and had to fix things, is really hard to do because, these types of projects don't come around all that often for a lot of people. And so, because there are some major companies that have cornered a lot of the market on large experiences for concerts and things like that. There's a lot of projects out there that we see that, we can't get to because we don't have the resources to get to them. So the fragmentation of the community, it is fragmented. And I think it's a reason why is because there really isn't anywhere to go to learn how to do this. a lot of this is just self-taught. A lot of people who work in this industry come from either a motion graphics background or film video production background, or just the standard, production background. And they were forced into it because of some opportunity that came up. That's the case for me. 7 or 8 years ago, I saw an opportunity to take on what I didn't know was projection mapping at the time, to be honest with you. It was just trying to figure out how to use a projector on a sort of unique surface. And so through experimentation and trial and error of my own, I figured out the tools that worked well for me. Do I have time to go and teach everybody else how to do that? I don't. I have time to go and look for another project. So it is because of that. Those sort of reasons, combined give us the reason why it is a fragmented community. And so we do run into people. There's a lot of people that I work with who have gone through the same type of experiences I have with projection mapping projects. And so we get to work together and leverage each other in those unique situations. I kind of went off on a tangent there.
It's okay. It's relevant because the thing is, it's still a new, it's relatively new. So
yeah.
Are we going to, I don't think there's certification. Forgive me if I'm mistaken.
No.
I don't think there's certification in projection mapping. So there seems to be an evolution going on in terms of
there is, and because
the technology and who grasps onto it and evolves it to the status that other technologies have become now.
Yeah, because there's so many sort of technology advances happening quarterly. That changed the game. I mean, there's a dozen really good projection mapping tools out there, and those do content playback. They do mapping and warping. The auto calibration camera systems that I just saw at Infocom this year, have come a long way in just 1 year. And also those auto calibration systems are coming down to a point where do they start become integrated directly inside of a projector, or is that something that the companies don't want to happen because they want to keep that separated from the media playback systems and stuff like that?
No, Cameron, can I just make sure you know that our high-end projectors do have color uniformity and pixel matching software included.
So what I was referring to was where we scan a 3D surface.
So I see the 3D object. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So those when I say auto calibration, I'm talking about using the camera to scan a 3D surface and then automatically map our content to that 3D surface using software. So does that stuff get built into projectors in the future? I wouldn't doubt that it would because it is another feature set, right? But it's something that I think, it's very early on. Now there are some ways to export some of that 3D information that you would get from a scan and then import that into a projector, make that calibration process easier. But that is one sort of tool that is pushing the envelope, right, in projection mapping. The other things that really matter to us, obviously, it's always brighter, smaller. It's just like the microchip, right? It's smaller, less heat, and faster. So, the smaller and brighter we can make the projectors, the less time we need to focus on where does the projector going to go, where's it positioned, and sort of the aesthetics of a permanent installation. There's always that issue is where's the projector going to live? And because it's, you know, this size, does it fit into this hole? And does it have enough airflow? And all those decisions kind of run together when you're creating those experiences and those installations. You know, you have to think about what are the sounds going on, the ambient sounds, what's ambient light? You know, where are these projectors going to be positioned so they're out of sight, out of mind, and we're creating that effect, that surprise effect. We call it the Disney effect, if you will. And so that, you know, you can enjoy the experience and not be distracted by, you know, this huge box that's in the sky. So those are some of the things that we get challenged with. But, you know, with smaller projectors and brighter ones, you know, those sort of aesthetics will get easier to handle on installations, even, you know, temporary installations.
I wanted to expand on Cameron's point on projectors, because I didn't talk about that, and I guess it makes sense. Since I work for Epson, I should talk about it, right? But, you know, there's definitely a goal for, at least for us, when we look at our technology roadmap, to how to make things brighter, smaller, and lighter. We've definitely taken strides in looking at different design and form factor for projectors so that it blends better aesthetically. So some of this stuff is, again, it's kind of different. You know, the traditional projectors were, you know, they were developed to support a culture of productivity. So they are what they are. But there's definitely stuff that we talk about internally that's leading us towards where, what Cameron was describing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Smaller, brighter, cheaper has always been a sort of a bit of a mantra in the projection world. Yeah. And, I've designed projectors and been involved in market development for a long time, and I can tell you that, you know, a 10,000 lumen projector evolved over time from something the size of a small desk to something that's just a little bit bigger than a, you know, well, the size of a, you know, footprint of a computer or a laptop. So, smaller, brighter, cheaper. I mean, all projector manufacturers are moving towards some slightly more solid state illumination, which allows for brighter, but also allows for better colors, which will affect, you know, Cameron and his, and the, you know, the content creation and how to use it, you know, color diversity and image quality will be impacted greatly over the next coming years with things that are coming down the roadmaps, I imagine, of every projector manufacturer. And it'll be exciting times. I mean, the whole idea is to create an installation where there is a huge wow factor when it comes to projector mapping, and digital signage is just going to be one of those parts in the market that will take advantage of this, and hopefully we'll see the wow factor even go even further with smaller projection mapping installations in malls or stores or in places like that. I think it's going to be quite exciting.
Well, thank you guys for joining me. This has been such an amazing conversation. I think we're going to have to do a part two, because I still have so many more questions I really wanted to get into next time we get together, so talk more about the creative aspects and how it's evolving. And I am almost anticipating a projector that's just built for this one segment of AV. But thank you all for joining me. Where can our listeners find you, Remy?
I can be found on LinkedIn. And I don't remember my LinkedIn handle right now. But I think it's R. Del Mar. And then, of course, on our website, Epson.com. I want to also say thank you for including us. This was an interesting discussion, and I enjoyed it. And Cameron, community starts with us. So don't feel too fragmented. We are here on the hardware side if you need anything.
I'll call you in my desperate need.
Sure.
Cameron, where can we find you?
You can find me on LinkedIn as well, under Cameron Ulick.
Okay. And Mike?
Same LinkedIn, Mike Garrido, and or just look me up at Christie Digital Systems, and you know, I'm available to help out Cameron or anybody else that needs a hand.
We appreciate it. Thank you, guys. I look forward to talking to you all again, either in this space or in AV Nation, in articles that I am already planning on this subject. I really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I'm Lenore Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at LenoreDSM. For AV Nation, visit our website, avnation.tv. You'll find this show and a host of others. While you're there, please visit our supporter section. These are the companies that support us financially and help us bring you Digital Signage Digest, coverage of DSC, Infocom, and more. All that and more at avnation.tv. That's avnation.tv.